Welcome back to The Gift of Grace. This is Phil Giuliani with Steve Garchar, and we're actually coming to the last segment of the teaching on the about the woman at the well. Believe it or not, this will end. But I think, as you can tell by now, if you listened last time and what we've done so far this time, this is a passage of scripture that's just really loaded with a lot of really good stuff.
Amen.
Yeah.
Very good stuff.
And it's the, you know, we left off by saying that this woman who was so interested in water now leaves her bucket, goes running into the town, and just can't wait to tell everybody in the town what's happened. So now she's an evangelist.
From being concerned about how people were talking about her.
Yes.
You know, some time ago, to wanting to tell everybody, come and meet this man who's told me everything that I've ever done.
Yeah.
Could he be the Messiah?
Yeah. It's kind of neat that she says that. You know, she was really hit by that. She was, you know, the fact that he uncovered her sin really made a huge impression on her. And that's what she kind of leads off with.
Yeah. And, you know, it was so profound of an experience that she just totally forgot about what she came there for and goes and gets everybody in the town.
Yes.
And so they come to him, or they're going to come to him. But meanwhile, you know, the disciples, they usually get into their typical conversations with the Lord where they don't really kind of see the whole picture sometimes.
Just to hold on a bag of sandwiches.
Lord, don't you want one of these sandwiches? Come on, we just got this. Yeah, because it says, meanwhile, the disciples urged him, Rabbi, eat. But he said to them, I have food to eat which you do not know.
Yeah.
So the disciples said to one another, could someone have brought him something to eat? Where, you know, 20 minutes ago he was talking to the woman that really didn't understand. Now That's he's right. back to teaching the disciples because they don't understand. What is this food?
They thought like a hot dog vendor had gone by or something. But.
You know, Jesus said to them, my food is to do the will of the one who sent me and to finish his work.
Yes.
Now we're getting into evangelization and working for the kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because doing our own will, God will leave you to your own designs. He's done, you know, it, throughout scripture, we see that.
Yes.
If we are stubborn and we don't really want to follow what God wants us to do, he'll leave us to our own designs, to our own desires of our hearts. And we won't really be walking in his way, nor will we be blessed or be blessing those who he has on our path that he wants us to bless.
Mm.
And we have to come to a place of understanding that we have to love what God loves, and we have to listen, that we hear his voice and do just like Jesus did. I only do what I see the Father doing.
Yes.
And he's teaching the disciples this as they're walking with them for 3 years, you know, and he just taught this woman where the living water is at.
Yes.
So,
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, it's just very profound.
Yeah. It's a good point there too, that, you know, when this whole story began, they had been walking through the heat and Jesus was tired, he was weary, he sat down at the well, he's thirsty, he's hungry. They go off to get food. Now he doesn't care about the food. He doesn't want the water, doesn't care about the water, because now the fact that he has reached this woman has taken precedence over all that stuff, over all the physical needs.
It's about the salvation of her soul.
Amen.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, many of you out there that are listening can probably identify with that, because when you get a chance to witness to someone one-on-one, and you get to proclaim the gospel to them, and you get to explain to them the salvation that only comes through Jesus the Messiah, you forget about the fact that you're tired, or you have a headache, or your foot hurts, or you were supposed to be ordering lunch, or whatever it was, because the idea of proclaiming that word to somebody and having them receive it takes precedence.
Yes.
And his doing that, and as he put it, you know, doing his father's will takes precedence over the fact that he was waiting for the sandwiches, that he was thirsty, that he was tired.
Mm-hmm.
He's not even thinking about that anymore.
Right.
So they're talking about that by the well while she's in the town evangelizing everybody, saying, come and see. You know, there's a lot of places in the Bible that start with come and see. It's come and mm-hmm. see who I found. Come and right. see who I met. Come and see a guy who told me everything I did. Come and see. You won't believe this. Come and see.
Mm-hmm.
Because once you encounter Christ in a very real way, you want to tell everyone about it, and you want them to come and experience it as well.
Right.
You don't go into a room and say, well, I encountered him, and this is really great. I had a great time, and now I'm just going to sit in here and be nice and quiet and just enjoy the fact that I encountered him. You go out and you tell others about it. And she told everybody in the town.
And she did. Yeah.
And she went from the idea of, you know, she was thinking when he said, go get your husband, you know, she's thinking about this guy who's back at the house that she's living with. So now she's going to get everybody in town.
Mm-hmm.
The people that gossiped about her, the people that were the priests or whatever they were, the people that were the next door neighbor, the people that worked at the Starbucks, the people that were walking around in the streets, whoever they were, she says, come and see who I found.
And the people that know this woman had to be taken aback by this change of character.
Yes.
By this change of demeanor that she is now saying, come and meet this man. Come and see this man that has told me everything about me. But Jesus is teaching his disciples a very important, some importance about the kingdom and what's been done before the time of his coming here. Right in this little passage, right up, right after, it, really starting in 36,
mm-hmm.
where he says, or really 35, do not say in 4 months the harvest will be here. Right. I tell you, look up and see the fields ripe for the harvest. It's ripe right now. The reaper is already receiving his payment and gathering crops for eternal life, so that the sower and the reaper can rejoice together. For here, the saying is verified that one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap what you have not worked for. Others have done the work, and you are sharing in the fruits of their work.
Mm.
You know, the kingdom of God is a big place.
Yes.
And in ministry, there's a lot of room for the laborers.
Yes.
To go out and labor in the field and do that work and to plant those seeds. And, you know, sometimes we plant, sometimes we water, sometimes we sow, and sometimes mm-hmm. we see the reaping of the harvest.
Mm-hmm.
And it's always great when you see the reaping of the harvest because yeah. you tend to think that you, oh, look at what I did.
Yes.
And that's.
And there were 9 other people that said something to them before you
right.
got there.
Right.
Yeah. It's interesting because the, you know, the disciples are now also caught up in this
yeah.
because he's saying to them, oh, you know what? I got food. You don't even know about food. So they're literally, just like she was literally talking about the water. They're literally thinking, gee, did somebody give them something to eat? Come on, we got a bag of sandwiches here.
We had to go buy this stuff.
We had to go over there and buy this stuff. We waited till they made the sandwiches. And all this time went by. Now he doesn't even want the sandwiches. And we can't keep them till later because there's no refrigeration. So they're thinking literal food.
Yeah.
He's talking about, I'm doing my father's will.
Mm-hmm.
And this concept of the harvest just really goes really well here in parallel with what the woman's doing, because he tells them, look around you and see this harvest. You know, we've talked on our show many times about how we're living in this amazing time of harvest.
Yeah.
You look out in the field and it's like ripe. There's people everywhere that need to be harvested.
People are hungering.
Yes.
You know, they're hungering for the Lord. Some of them don't know that, but they're searching for something that is missing.
Yes. Missing in their lives.
Missing in their lives, missing in their heart, that peace, that fulfillment of just being embraced by God's love.
Yes.
And that's what they're missing.
Yes. So she tells all these people, come and see this guy. You know, she doesn't tell them all the other things they talked about. She doesn't say, well, you know, he's a Jew, but, you know, we got into this argument about, you know, where you worship.
Where you worship.
And, you know, he's a little bit weird about that, but, you know, just even mention that. Because now the whole thing is come and see him. Come and talk to him. Come and experience what I experienced. This is This is the harvest that he's talking about. When he's talking about it with the apostles there, she's actually bringing in a harvest from that town.
Exactly.
Which is really cool.
Exactly.
And they're not the, you know, worshiping Jewish people in Jerusalem. These are the outcast people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Jesus talks about Samaritans many times in his teachings.
Right.
Because whenever he wants to get a zinger into the Pharisees, he says, oh, and this Samaritan came, and everybody goes, oof.
How could a Samaritan do that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, as you were saying before, you know, he spends this time teaching one woman who then goes out and helps bring in this big harvest.
Right. Because of her testimony.
Right. Because of her testimony.
And how important it is to share what God has done for you.
Yes.
You know, so, you know, in 2 Peter, you must proclaim what God has done for you because yes. He has called you out of darkness into his own wonderful light.
Yes.
And he called this woman out of her darkness and brought her into, because he is the light.
Yes.
Brought her into the light. And when the light of God is shown upon me or anyone else, the light of God illuminates the human heart. And mm-hmm. and we see our sin. I see my sin mm-hmm. for what it is.
Mm-hmm.
And in that moment, I have a decision to make.
Mm-hmm.
I can either turn towards God, or if I'm still so caught up in pride, I can still reject that salvation.
Yes.
You know, and that's the gift of free will, because we have to love God from our own heart.
Mm-hmm.
We can't. God doesn't force us to love him.
Right.
And that's one of the hardest things, I think, in evangelization or in sharing the gospel and the love of God, is that sometimes that happens. And it's really heart-wrenching because mm-hmm. my heart's been embraced by God's love. And I just know what that person is turning away from.
Yes.
And I just...
Oh yeah.
I just can't fathom to think that somebody would want to turn away from that. But I also understand that they haven't experienced it either.
That's right. And we don't know how many people in this town said, I don't want to go see the guy, I don't care.
Right.
There were probably a few, some.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, as she brings this harvest in and these Samaritans from this town come to Jesus, you know, it's interesting how this goes on to say, you know, they experienced him, they talked with him, they kind of listened to him there. And then they said, wow, first we believed because this woman told us, but now we believe because of what we heard from him.
Right.
Because the whole experience becomes somebody tells you about Jesus, and you say, wow. But then when he actually acts on you, you say, whoa, this is awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And that guy, Steve, told me about this, and that was really awesome. But now I know it's even way more awesome than I thought at the beginning.
Exactly.
Yeah, so they have their own experience then.
There's many times where, and I know that you've probably had the same experience, where you've talked to somebody, and then you've told them about something, you've told them about maybe a church to go to this mm-hmm. church, and you know, or go to this worship event, and you're telling them about it, and tell them about it, and then they go and experience, they go, wow, it's just like you said it would be. You know, it's like, amen, brother.
Yes. Yeah. And there is certainly a huge harvest in our time.
Yeah.
You know, we've talked about this before. We're just as important as the evangelists of the first century
mm-hmm.
because they brought in the first harvest, the first wave of the salvation. And now we've sunk back into a world where it's been lost.
Yeah.
And we don't know how much time there is till the end. It might be days, it might be years, it might be a century, but the harvest always has to be brought in.
Right. And there always seems to be a certain remnant that is working in the kingdom.
Yes.
But whether you're called to a, you know, I sometimes think, you know, whether you're called to a large ministry or a small ministry, it's important that what God calls you to, that mm-hmm. you act upon. Because that's the most important thing, that you're doing what God's asking you to do. And to really be in prayer about, Lord, how do I serve you today?
Mm.
How do I help bring in this harvest for the kingdom, because I don't want to stand before God and, you know, say, well, where's the return on my investment? Well, I didn't bring anybody with me, Lord. I don't want to be in that position. I'd rather be in the position of saying, here's all the people that came through the gifts you've given me.
Yes.
You know, and really placing our lives at the service of the gospel, that
Amen.
Our lives are not our lives anymore once we encounter Christ, but we are to live, we live our lives for him.
Yes. Well, that, the end of the teaching on the John chapter 4, the woman at the well, hope you've enjoyed it. Steve, it's been great doing it with you, and we'll be back again in 2 weeks with another teaching from God's Word.
And we hope you have an awesome Lord's Day.
Have an awesome Lord's Day, and we'll see you in 2 weeks.
You've been listening to The Gift of Grace with Phil Giuliani and Steve Garchar. Phil and Steve will be back in 2 weeks, where they will once again teach God's Word and proclaim the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah, right here on AM 1220, The Word. Thanks, and God bless. Restore.